Education is certainly front and center these days in Michigan. Governor Snyder spoke today at his summit of education leaders, calling for businesses to get more closely involved with public education. He believes too many students have been pushed toward getting four-year college degrees when the vocational education track or technical career training or community college might have made more sense. And in the State House and Senate, there's movement towards changing Michigan's high school graduation requirements. Some lawmakers want to change the Michigan Merit Curriculum, the MMC. Then Governor Jennifer Granholm signed the MMC into law in 2006, putting into place some of the toughest high school graduation requirements in the nation. But from the perspective of 2013, critics, like Governor Snyder, say those standards seem to favor students heading to four-year colleges at the expense of those who might want to explore career and vocational training options. Under the bills making their way through the State House and Senate, students would still need 4 years of math, but they could replace Algebra 2 with statistics or technical math. The foreign language requirements would go, and students would be able to use extracurricular activities to replace some phys ed credits. The State Board of Education and the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals have come out strongly in favor of maintaining the MMC. Supporters of the changes say, no, it's time to allow options for students whose career plans point more towards career or technical ed. So this debate cuts right to the heart of the question, what type of high school education will best serve the students of Michigan and the state of Michigan? Joining me is Wendy Zadeb Roper. She's the executive director of the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals. She actually joins us from Lansing, where she's attending the Governor's Education Summit. Welcome to Stateside, Wendy.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
And Jeff Bull joins us. He's the principal of the Capital Area Career Center. Jeff joins us from Mason. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Cynthia. Delighted to be here today.
Good to have you both. Wendy, I want to start with you. The Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals has joined with the State Board of Education in calling for the standards to stay just as they are. Why so?
Well, I think that one of the misconceptions is that being college and being career ready are, in our minds, one and the same. And that when we look at what we're preparing students for in the future, we're really preparing students for jobs that may not even exist today. And so we really don't want to limit the options that students have in their future. And we feel that a rigorous curriculum is the best preparation for any field that students may go into in the future. And we just want to make sure that they're as prepared as possible.
And Jeff Bull, you're principal of a Lansing area school that focuses on these career-centered programs and courses. Why do you support altering the MMC?
Well, I support it because I have seen the wonderful things that can come about through career and technical education. I was in industry before I came into education, and I have taught at schools, five different schools, ranging from repeat ninth graders in the urban core of Miami to advanced math and science students at a specialty school in Battle Creek. And the experiences that we provide at the Capital Area Career Center and in career and technical education across the state are truly more transforming for students than any other education that I've personally experienced. It is amazing what you can do when you allow students an opportunity to develop expertise in a particular area. And I argue for flexibility around a few of the academic requirements because when we don't have that flexibility, students are denied the opportunity to access important programs like ours and like other elective programs in the arts or music.
I'm speaking with Jeff Bull. He's the principal of the Capital Area Career Center, and speaking with Wendy Zadeb Roper, who's the executive director of the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals, talking about the possible changes in the Michigan Merit Curriculum. We'll continue our conversation after the break and discuss what the future of education should look like in our state and what high school students should be required to take in order to graduate. This is Stateside on Michigan Radio. You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We continue our conversation now about what the future of education should be in Michigan. It comes as lawmakers in Lansing debate whether the state should change its high school graduation requirements, also known as the Michigan Merit Curriculum. Jeff Bohl is with us. Jeff's the principal of the Capital Area Career Center. And we're also speaking with Wendy Zadeb Roper. She's the executive director of the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals. Now, one of the debates around the Michigan Merit Curriculum is whether or not every student should have to take classes in high school that would set them up and prepare them for that four-year degree, or if they should have more flexibility to be able to take more electives and hands-on courses, the kind available at the Capital Area Career Center. So, Wendy, let me ask you this. Are students who want to take shop classes or graphic arts or computer programming or health programs, are they being handcuffed by having to take French or Spanish or Algebra 2?
No, and I think that's also one of the misconceptions that continues to be perpetuated. I fully support students taking CTE-type courses. There's definitely a student population that will be attracted to those types of classes, and certainly there's great employability for students that go through those preparation fields. So in no way do we not want students to go that route. However, in looking at the data that's collected by CEPI, which is the organization which in the Department of Education that tracks numbers of students and course-taking patterns, there's very little decline in students taking CTE classes since the implementation of the Michigan Merit Curriculum. And we had people testify in support of maintaining the rigor, such as Phil Jankowski, the principal at Armada High School, and he brought in two of his career and technical education teachers to advocate for the fact that they've been able to make all of these things work. And what they're doing is embedding the Algebra 2 course right into the CTE program so that students are able to essentially get the standards that they need in the applied setting that they're hoping to take. So we feel that these things can be married and they don't need to be separated. So it's not a matter of picking between career and technical education and the Michigan Merit Curriculum. It's finding ways to make those two things work together. And there are a number of schools throughout the state that have been able to make this work.
Well, if I could, I'd like to take exception to a couple things that Wendy said. First of all, the numbers that I've seen, and there may be more numbers, but the numbers that the MASSP and the governor's office have published from CEPI regarding the taking of career and technical education, those numbers are the percentage of students who take career and technical education. And with any statistic, you have to be sure to ask the question whether the statistic actually answers the question at hand. And in this case, that I don't think that percentage does.
Why?
The number that we need to focus on is the percentage of students' schedules that are career and technical education courses. When you consider great music or art training experiences, you need more than one course to become an expert. As with career and tech ed, they need to have more than one course. In some cases, they need to have a series of four courses, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year. Or in some cases, they need to give over half a day of their junior and senior year to come to a program like ours at the Career Center. If the question is, has the Michigan Merit Curriculum and the Michigan Merit Exam reduced elective opportunities for students, there's absolutely no question that it has. And I don't have any numbers on that, but I can tell you that if you go into any high school anywhere in Michigan, talk to any counselor or any elective teacher, they will tell you that students cannot access elective courses because they are having to take academic courses they wouldn't have had to take in the past, and in some cases they're having to take them two or three times.
Well, I obviously agree to disagree on that, and I think the data speaks for itself, and I'd personally rather focus on data than anecdotal conversations, because there are just places all over the state that have been able to make this work. And rather than just saying we can't make it work, we don't want to make it work, we need to find a way to find the solution because it's really in the best interest of our students. I don't think we should be looking at 14 and 15-year-olds and saying, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up, and banking on that without giving them a wide variety of curriculum.
I couldn't
their majors
more
throughout college. You know, it's too limiting at that early of an age.
First of all, I believe that the data argument that I made is valid, and I really believe you need more than one course in any area in order to develop expertise. And another misconception about career and technical education is that it funnels students or it reduces options for them. And I have to be honest and say that when I moved from industry and then into regular education and then moved from regular education into career and tech ed, I really was worried that working at the school was going to involve a little bit of what Wendy suggested, making having students make decisions that would limit their future options. I don't see that at all. What the exact opposite happens here, and it happens because what we provide students is an opportunity to develop expertise. They develop marketable expertise in a particular area, and students thrive when they have the opportunity. They absolutely blossom when they have the opportunity to learn how to speak, behave, and be valued by adults as experts. For some students, their experiences here are the first times in their lives where they felt successful in school. And that is truly a life-changing experience when they can go out and present at businesses with our business partners, work with our business partners, and be considered experts in an area. That I know that might sound like funneling, but what actually happens is students learn to engage their passions. They learn to become self-directed learners. They learn professional responsibility and self-confidence. And those are all portable to any area.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we're exploring the pros and cons of proposed changes in the Michigan Merit Curriculum. Speaking today with Wendy Zadeb Roper, she's the Executive Director of the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals, and Jeff Bohl is the principal of the Capital Area Career Center. Jeff, there is a real clear awareness that America's students are being lapped by students from other countries who are taking foreign languages, they're taking that higher math. So the question is, would changing what are some of the toughest graduation requirements in the country put Michigan's kids at a disadvantage in this world economy?
Well, we absolutely need a certain percentage of university graduates, and we do need some students to pursue high-level academics. There's no question, and we need more of it than we're currently getting. There's absolutely no question, but if the target is 35 or 40%, as a lot of economic studies show, 35 or 40% of our population that we need to have bachelor's degrees in the near future, then I'm not sure what's supposed to happen to the other 60 to 65% who are going to be forced to take a curriculum that's really not designed to benefit them.
And Wendy?
Well, I think what we have to look at is, once again, going back to the trends and the data that we're seeing. And when we look at the graduation rate, which I think is a really important point, a number of people thought that when we put these higher requirements in, there was going to be this huge increase in the dropout rate, et cetera. And what we actually see is that this past year, the graduation rate increased 1%, while dropout rates were down 4.5%. And I think that that's a huge factor that we need to look at as well, is that, you know, students don't rise to a low bar. And that we really want to make sure that all of our students are college and career ready, and those things are one and the same. And this is not a comprehensive high school versus CTE argument. So we just really feel that all of these pieces need to be in place for our students to be successful in the future, whether that takes them directly into the world of work or that takes them onto a college campus.
One of the challenges that I have with something that you, Wendy just said is, we don't want students to rise to a low bar. That's an example of some language issues that really, I think, keep us from having a fair-handed conversation about the issues at hand here. Because I do not believe, as someone who taught advanced research in AP statistics, I do not believe that having students take rigorous career and technical education is a lower bar than a rigorous math course.
It certainly is not. I
100%
agree with you on
that. That aligns better with their passion.
We can integrate those Algebra 2 concepts right into those very rigorous classes that you're referring to. This is not an argument saying that CTE is a low bar, because it is not.
But you used the word. I'm sorry.
Well, you did use the word low bar, Wendy.
Right. And taking out rigorous requirements, taking out Algebra 2, taking out world language, taking out those types of experiences for kids do lower the bar.
If I could,
let me hear you, Jeff.
The Algebra 2 question, because there has been a big push over the last 5 years to embed academics in career and technical education, and the theory behind that is that a lot of content, a lot of math content, a lot of reading writing content, actually does occur in career and technical education courses. So if we can hone the ways that we teach that, we can improve our students' abilities in it, but also career and technical education can take credit for having provided some of that part of the Michigan Merit Curriculum. As someone who had a math-rich career, who taught advanced mathematics, and who now works in career and technical education, I can tell you that the content of Algebra 2 does not occur in the vast majority of careers that are available in the United States right now, and it also doesn't occur in the content of the courses that are taught by career and tech ed schools. So when we use the word embed, it almost sounds like you're just using the Algebra 2 that's there and you're getting it without any cost. But the reality is that it requires removing career and tech ed content from the course to force Algebra 2 content into the course.
Does that make sense to you, Wendy?
Well, the problem is that's Jeff's perspective, and I've met with career and technical education principals who tell me that they're able to make that work and that, you know, students are actually able to master those really difficult concepts because it is an applied setting.
We do embed advanced academics everywhere where we can, and we actually have used statistics. We have a very rigorous statistics unit that we use across the board rather than Algebra 2, because statistics is more germane to the vast majority of the courses that we teach. When you put Algebra 2 in, it comes at the cost of career and tech ed content. It absolutely does. It's a zero-sum game. There's only so much time in the class period for things that you can teach.
I want to shift gears a little bit here and get you both to comment on the many studies that have shown consistently the states with the highest number of four-year college graduates have the stronger economies. We've seen studies by the nonpartisan Milken Institute, Michigan State University's Institute for Public Policy and Social Research, Georgetown University's Education Center, just to name a few. And they all say those with bachelor's degrees will earn way more than those with some college or a high school diploma. And the states with the highest per capita incomes are those with the highest percentage of college degree earners living in them. And we've already got Michigan 36th in college attainment and 40th in income. So the question to both, shouldn't we be doing all we can to set up Michigan students to get those four-year degrees, both for the good of the students and of the state? Jeff, let me ask you that.
Absolutely. There's no question that we should be doing everything we can to raise the bar for everyone across the board. I think we need to remember that a lot of students, that the economy doesn't need every student to have a four-year degree, and a lot of students are not inclined that way. They're inclined in different areas, and for those students, they deserve a rigorous curriculum that will apply to their futures.
Wendy?
Well, I think I would point to what the Business Leaders for Michigan is projecting, and they're saying that the economy will demand Michigan produce 900,000 more college graduates by 2025, and that post-secondary degree attainment needs to increase 60% to be able to meet that. So I just don't see why we would change our course of action. We're really finding success with the Michigan Merit Curriculum. It's put us on the map as a state in terms of having that rigor, and it's really caused us to be a leader in terms of, you know, saying that all of our students can do this, and schools are finding a way to make it happen with that increased graduation rate and lower dropout rate, and it just seems to me that we would want to stay this course.
What do both of you want to see in Michigan education standards looking forward? What if you could make it as you know, what you most want to see, what would that look like, Jeff?
First of all, I would back off just slightly on the academic requirements for the exact reasons that people have proposed the legislation, because it does reduce opportunities for students to focus on areas of their passion. Secondly, I really believe that the one-size-fits-all ACT-MME goal is not the right goal. The Economic Policy Institute surveyed recently educators and business people on what they felt the goals of education should be, and only 22% of those goals were academic. So that means that we're testing with the Michigan Merit Exam only about 75% to 80% of what we actually want from education, and I believe we can do better than that. If a teacher were teaching only 75% of their content, we would not consider that best practice. I think that we need to put into play an education requirements and graduation requirements for students that are more focused on their particular interests and goals, and that push them to a level of rigor and expertise that we haven't reached yet for most students. But I believe we could have every student have their own graduation requirements. They could pick, maybe they pick an area or two that they're going to major in, quote unquote, in high school, where they're going to develop some level of expertise, develop a portfolio around that, have some rigorous courses so that they can actually have accomplished something in high school. I really worry that in the model where every student needs to go on to four-year university, that high school becomes the next middle school. It's just the next stepping stone, and we're not trying to get students any final value. And I believe that when we respect career and technical education, when we respect other electives, we can get students a lot of things that are going to carry them forward, regardless of whether they go on to university or not.
And Wendy Zadeb-Rober, your thoughts on what you would like to see going forward in Michigan's education?
Well, when I listened to the business leaders that were present here this morning at the Governor's Education Summit, there was a common theme, in that they said that they needed a very well-prepared workforce. And they stressed the fact that students have to be able to work together with people from different cultures and backgrounds, which to me would once again imply that that world language component is important. They also stressed the need for workers who have critical thinking skills and who can think outside the box. And I think, once again, Algebra 2 plays to those strengths. The other thing that I think we need to also kind of bring into this conversation is that Michigan has moving toward the Common Core State Standards. And although there is some, opposition and discussion about that at this point, the other thing that is important is that the Common Core State Standards will be assessed in 14-15, and that math assessment requires more Algebra 2 than the ACT had in years past. So I think that's another really important indicator. But I think what we really want for students is to be, like I said, college and career ready, so that they have this vast variety of options in front of them and that they're not limited in any way, shape, or form. And if they choose to go the path of career and technical education, which is a wonderful possibility for them, absolutely, that they also have other options to make sure that if they change their minds in the future, they're not limited in any way, shape, or form.
We've been speaking with Jeff Bull, who's the principal of the Capital Area Career Center. He joined us from Mason today. And Wendy Zadeb-Rober, executive director of the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals, joining us from Lansing, where she's attending the Governor's Educational Summit, both giving us a good idea of the spirited debate about education in Michigan. And we thank you both very much for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thanks, Cynthia. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.